Good morning, Hans. Bob Fisher and Talking Travel calling here. How are you?
Hello, Bob. Always a pleasure to be speaking with you.
And how are things in paradise this morning?
Well, it's very nice here. The sun's been up for a little while and sparkling on the waters here, and the islands are dotted throughout the Gulf and the ocean here.
I should explain to our listeners that Hans lives on Pender Island, which is one of the serene Gulf Islands off Canada's west coast. And what are you seeing off your dock this morning?
Well, I'm up at my garret, which is the third floor of our house, where I do my writing, and I have a beautiful view out across the ocean. A ferry is just going by in the distance, and behind it is Salt Spring Island, and behind that is Vancouver Island. So it's quite a nice view.
Yeah, you're making me a little bit jealous. Now, you've recently come back from a really interesting trip to Monterey, California, and the article we're going to talk about today is actually called Monterey, California, Exulting in Nature and History. And a wonderful piece, again, superb photographs, and I want to get to and talk about them a little bit if I can. But I just want to start with a quote from the article. You're out there kayaking, and that's the principal photograph at the beginning of the article. You're kayaking out in Monterey Bay, and this sea lion comes by, and you describe it as the glistening smooth mass passed within a few yards, what looked so blubbery and uncoordinated on shore now appeared as pure fluid poetry, a stark contrast to my clumsy paddling. Well, that's poetry in itself, Hans. I wonder if you can talk, just begin by telling us, I've been to Monterey twice myself, it's a wonderful place, but can you tell all our listeners that perhaps haven't been there, where is Monterey, California, and what kind of a place is it?
Well, I chose Monterey specifically so I could learn a bit more about marine life and coastal life. It's the city of about 30,000 people is about 100 miles south of San Francisco, right on the ocean. It's on a little bay that's been cut out almost like a half moon or a bite out of the California coast, and it's a wonderful place, just a wonderful. It's got terrific history, which I wasn't aware of, and it's got amazing marine life.
And this sounds to me that it was an ecotourism experience for you.
Yes, very much so. The whole Monterey Bay has been made into a national marine sanctuary, and it just teems with marine life because there's a huge canyon running perpendicular to the shore that's larger than the Grand Canyon, actually, and it brings up cold upwelling of food and plankton and things that just really enrich the seafood and the sea life in that area. I mean, it provides food for the sea animals and the fish. So I really learned an enormous amount about the marine environment, and I guess just how important it is that we do protect it and so that we'll be here for a long time.
Can you give us, you are an environmental scientist yourself, and certainly a very cognizant and experienced outdoors person. What did you learn yourself that perhaps you didn't know when you visited Monterey?
Well, just really, I learned a lot about the sea life. Just little things, like just watching how a sea lion swims, for example. And these guys weigh like 1,000 pounds, and they look like a mass of jello when you see them on land. And in water, they're just like they're doing the butterfly stroke. It's just beautiful the way they go up and down. They kind of porpoise up out of the water, then they disappear under the water for a few seconds, and they come up again and down again. And just watching how these different animals, sea lions included, how they've adapted to their environment, how terrifically mobile and effortless they are in their own environment. And this is an environment that occupies like 71% of the Earth. So there's so much we need to learn about it that we really don't as human beings.
And when you say 71% of the Earth, you mean the oceans are 71%?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a large part of the Earth's surface.
And in your article, you say that in Monterey Bay, it's blessed with abundant sea life, but that you'd never expected the phenomenal array of marine life. Can you just give us some other examples? What did you see there? You mentioned sea lions. What else were you observing when you were out kayaking in the bay?
Well, I didn't tell you how many sea lions.
Ah.
I've been living here on the coast of British Columbia now for almost exactly a year, and I've probably seen, I think, 2 sea lions the entire year. We saw somewhere between 500 and 1,000 sea lions during the course of this one kayak tour, which lasted maybe 2 hours.
Fantastic.
It was phenomenal. Just the noise of them barking and roaring and growling was incredible. Sea otters is another thing. Sea otters are actually in the U.S. on the endangered species list.
Really?
And we, at one point, when we went up at Moss Landing, just a tiny bit north of Monterey, we went on a pontoon safari in Elkhorn Slough. At one point, we saw 58 sea otters all together in one raft.
Wow.
And they're the cutest, most darling animals.
Yes, I remember seeing them all floating on their back with clamshells in their paws.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we actually, you don't see it often, but we had the good fortune. We heard this clack, clack, clack going on beside, coming from somewhere, and we all turned to one side, and there was this sea otter just floating by on its back, banging away on a clamshell with a rock that it had. It was just a darling sight. They spend a lot of time on their back. We saw them in the kelp, and what they do is they go to sleep in the kelp in the sunshine and kind of twirl and twine themselves up into the kelp so they don't drift away. It's kind of like a babysitting stay-at-home device.
Now, you make reference to the Monterey Aquarium, which I've visited as well. It's one of the best facilities of its kind that I've ever seen. But can you tell us more about that facility, especially in terms of, you don't have to necessarily be in a kayak out in Monterey Bay?
No. In fact, we found it was the perfect complement to do both, because in the aquarium, what you see, what is below the water, whereas obviously on a kayak, you just see what's above it. But the Monterey Bay Aquarium is is considered the best in the U.S. and arguably probably the best in the world. It specializes just in the marine life of Monterey Bay. It doesn't bring in exotic stuff from India or places like that. But even so, the richness and just the elegance and quality of how they've done their displays is phenomenal. And what's interesting to me is that it's set in an old cannery building. It's quite appropriate, or I guess almost ironic, that
this is Steinbeck country too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Right.
But the aquarium is set in an old cannery building, and the cannery went out of business because all the sardines and pilchards got fished out.
Right.
So the aquarium is very aptly and appropriately made its whole primary focus is to help conserve the world's oceans. So,
what about bird life?
Bird life.
Because that there are a lot of birders who travel to specific destinations.
Yes, and I can certainly recommend one place that's out of this world or still in this world. And that, again, is this little place called Moss Landing, which is really a part of the Monterey experience. It's about 10, 15 miles north of the city of Monterey, right on the bay, Monterey Bay. And it's considered one of the top 10 birding places in the world, not in the world, in the United States. And they have the most remarkable, at this one bed and breakfast we stayed at, Captain's Inn, they have this remarkable contest where you can, the challenge is to see how many bird species you can spot before breakfast without leaving bed. Breakfast ends at 9 o'clock. So.
That's great. And I've got to ask you, because you mentioned it in your article, and I don't know what it is, but one of the birds you mentioned, and correct my pronunciation, a phalarope?
A phalarope, yes.
Yeah. What is that?
It's a shore bird, and it's much like if you've seen herons and egrets and curlews and those that have long, stilty legs and long beaks for working the shoreline. This is a bird just like that, but it's much smaller and more delicate. So it's about half the size or a third of the size of these other birds that tend to be bigger. And when we saw it, it was just delightful. It was just flittering away on the kelp. And because it was so small, the kelp would hold its weight. So it was walking half the time on the kelp and the other half of the time just flittering around looking for, I guess, whatever insects or little fish it was looking for.
And speaking of delightful, you've titled this article, Monterey, California, exulting in nature and history. Well, that's a $5 verb. I really like it, exulting, meaning being elated, happy, and jubilant. And can you talk to me about what you're feeling while you're out there in the kayak in the middle of Monterey Bay?
Well, exulting is probably even an understatement. That kayaking experience was one of the nicest experiences I've ever had in my life. The sun was sparkling. The temperature was just perfect. There's a beautiful swell coming in. So when we were sitting on the kelp there, we were just rising and falling about a foot or two. It was just like being next to the heartbeat of Mother Earth.
Yeah, great expression, that. I love that. The heartbeat of Mother Earth.
And really, the abundance of the sea life around us was actually overwhelming. I had never, ever thought that we'd see that much marine life in terms of the sea lions and the otters and the harbor seals and the birds. It was really, Bob, I do despair at times about where our world is going with, the overall global state of the environment. But to be in a place like this where it still is rich and abundant really was an experience.
And that kind of brings me to my next question, because you may remember, oh, I'm sure you remember, you did the article you did on cross-country skiing in the Canadian Rockies. And in that article and in this one, you really express a sense of yourself in relation to the natural environment. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you've already expressed it, but can you say, what was the relationship between you and this marine environment?
It's hard to express. I just felt a very powerful oneness with it. And I don't know if that's because we're all, humanity is descended from the marine environment and from the oceans, or whether it's just the overwhelming beauty and peace and serenity I felt there. But there was definitely, I had a huge empathy with it. And it was a wonderful feeling, a very nice, warm feeling.
Empathy, yeah, natural empathy, I like that. You also mentioned that this is an historical destination, so can you tell us, what's in Monterey, an area that is of historical importance?
Well, that came to me as a bit of a bonus, because I had not expected that part of it. We went down with the marine destination, but Monterey has got enormous historical significance. It was the capital of Mexico when it took over, and of the Spanish times, way back in the 1700s. So it's been the capital of California way back two, three hundred years ago. And a lot of the buildings, obviously, when you have a provincial capital like that, you build a lot of grand buildings, and there's lots to see. There's a wonderful presidio, an old fort. There's some wonderful old cathedral church, old adobe buildings, these red tile roofs.
What's the mission? You mentioned a mission.
Well, that is a must see if you go to the Monterey, just outside of Monterey, in a neighboring town of Carmel is the Carmel Mission. And it was built in the 1700s, and then fell into ruin, and then but has now been quietly being restored, and is actually a working church and mission. And it's probably the most popular pilgrimage site, in the entire country. But it's just picture beautiful. You cannot turn your camera in any direction and not get a prize-winning photo. The colors of the adobe and the rhododendrons and the roses and the yellow poppies against the statues of the Virgin Mary, and it just goes on and on. It's just breathtaking.
And which brings me to your photographs, which, again, are absolutely sublime. And if people are listening, and if they haven't already, they can go to this article on our website at www.ttrn, and you either just click on Destination World View, or to make it really easy, just type in the word Monterey in our search engine there. And you will come up with Hans's article and with these wonderful photographs. I want to ask you a little bit, because you are such a fantastic photographer, and I wonder if you can give just a few hints to our listeners. For example, I'm looking at that first photograph of I don't know, is that you in the kayak, or is that your wife? Or
That's my wife, Allison.
Okay. Now, can you just briefly explain the composition of that photograph and what you tried to achieve, because it is amazing. Just talk to me about that.
Well, you know, the photography is largely, and I have to say, pshaw, because I'm not a great photographer at all. I only have a cheap camera, and photography is largely a situation of opportunity. And here, I just made the opportunity happen by taking the camera with me onto this open kayak. A lot of people wouldn't, want to risk their camera going through the surf and getting on in the water like this. So just having the camera there made it happen. But what I was trying to capture here was two things, or maybe three things. But I wanted to get the sunshine and kind of the warmth of the sun and that. So I shot a bit toward the sun, not totally, rather than having the sun behind me. And then also I wanted to capture this wonderful kelp and the fact that we're floating on this kelp bed. It's about 30 feet deep here. So again, I put my camera down almost at water level to take this shot. So I held my camera down above water level and then shot across. And the rest of it is just, standard composition. I try to follow the rule of one-third. I had the rise and about a third down. And instead of centering the kayak, I had it kind of over in the corner and try to make the kelp the more important thing in the photo.
But what you create is not just an image, but imagery. And because the photograph suggests the abundance you're talking about, and certainly the kelp is a symbol in itself, but also the lone person in the kayak at peace and so totally integrated with the environment. And I think that's what your entire article says. I want to, we've got to keep moving along, but I want to ask you a question about the experience you had in terms of the oceans. Now, you mentioned that 71% of the Earth's surface is ocean, and we know that oceans are proof that all the life systems on this planet are interconnected. And these are notes from a lecture I was at. And one statement I heard at the lecture was that genetically humans are marine-based. Can you comment on that as an environmentalist?
Well, it's absolutely true. Everything on Earth, all the life has really come about because of the oceans and the way they generate oxygen and the way that, they've created our oxygen in our environment over the millennia, over the millions of years, so that we can even have the environment to live in. And again, maybe that's part of this empathy I feel, because I really feel a closeness with this ocean. And sometimes it feels like a mother because it's got this soft warmth and abundance of life and supports life. But other times it feels like the father with maybe a heavy hand when the mm-hmm. big surf comes crashing in and so on. But to me, really, it really blows me away that there's this something that's so vast and so important and so vital to our beings, and yet we know so little about it. And I'm sure that oceanographers know a lot more about it, but us lay people here that live on land know so little about it and have so little connection really with it.
So lifelong learning, I think I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
Monterey, California.
Yeah.
Well, this was wonderful as usual. Great article, superb photographs, and I hope everyone goes to the website and has a good look at them. And thanks very much for this, Hans, and we'll be talking to you again very soon. And looking forward to another of your outside stories. So we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Bob. Well, it's been a pleasure talking travel with you, and all the best to Roy.
Thanks very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.